يسر مركز رياض الصالحين الإسلامي بدبي أن يقدم لكم هذه المادة الصوتية.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع هداه، ما بعد، ففي بداية هذه الدورة أشكر الله سبحانه وتعالى على التيسير، ونسأله عز وجل الإخلاص لي ولكم بالقول والعمل. وبعد شكر الله عز وجل نشكر الإخوة القائمين على هذه الدورة ومن أذن لها من دائرة الأوقاف. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يوفقهم وأن يبارك فيهم وأن يحفظ هذه البلاد وولاة أمورها لكل خير.
And so the Sheikh حفظه الله تعالى, he began praising Allah Azza wa Jal, beseeching Allah to send a salat and a salam upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members and his followers or his companions and those who follow them in excellence until the day of recompense. As to proceed, Sheikh, he says that at the beginning of this dawra, we would like to thank Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for facilitating it. And we ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for us and for you, sincerity in statement and in action. And after thanking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we would like to thank our brothers who have established this dawra, and likewise the ones who have allowed it. We ask Allah Ta'ala for his tawfiq and to bless and to preserve this land and its leaders and all of its subjects.
هذه بداية التعليق على هذا الكتاب, وهذا الكتاب هو صريح السنة الإمام الطبري رحمه الله تعالى.
So this is the beginning of the commentary upon this book. It is called Surih Sunnah by the Imam al-Tabari alayhi rahmatullah.
والإمام الطبري هو إمام مجتهد من علماء عصره, أبو جعفر محمد بن جرير الطبري, وهو من أهل طبرستان, ولد سنة 24 و200 وتوفي سنة 10 و300 من هجرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, وهو صاحب التصانيف المشهورة ومنها كتابه التفسير جامع في تأويل القرآن, وهو من أوسع الكتب التي كانت على نمط التفسير بالمأثور. أثنى عليه الأئمة حتى قال عنه الذهبي رحمه الله: قل أن ترى العيون مثله, قل أن ترى العيون مثله رحمه الله تعالى.
So he says that this Imam al-Tabari, he is that well-known Imam, and he is from the ulama of his era. He is Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari from Tabaristan. He was born in the year 224 and he died in the year 310 after the hijrah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he is the author of some well-known books. Amongst them is his tafsir, Tafsir al-Tabari, known as Jami' Tawil al-Quran. He says, and this book is from the broadest of books in its scope, known to collect the tafsir by way of the narrations. And the scholars have praised this book. From them, Imam al-Dhahabi, alayhi rahmatullah, said concerning it, that few are the eyes that have seen the likes of this tafsir.
ورسالته هذه وهي صريح السنة رواها اللالكائي رحمه الله تعالى في شرح أصول اعتقاد أهل السنة وذكرها نقل عنها أبو يعلى في إبطال التأويلات نقل عنها شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية وابن القيم وغيرهم من العلماء وصنفت أو طبعت هذه الرسالة مستقلة بهذا العنوان الذي بين أيدينا في أكثر من طبعة.
So this book, Sarih al-Sunnah, it is collected by Al-Imam al-Lalikai, Ansar al-Shah, Usul al-Tiqad, Al-Sunnah. Likewise, it was reported by Abu Ya'la, Ansar al-Tawilat, as well as it was collected by and narrated by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Qayyim and others. It is likewise printed individually by itself under this title that we currently have with us many times over.
ومما ذكر في الثناء على كتابه التفسير وأيضا له علاقة في هذه الرسالة أن أبا بكر بن بالويه قال لابن خزيمة، ابن خزيمة يلقب بإمام الأئمة، قال بلغني أنك كتبت تفسير ابن جرير أو التفسير عن ابن جرير، قال نعم إملاء أي أملى عليهم ابن جرير هذا التفسير، قال كله؟ قال نعم، قال في كم سنة؟ قال من سنة 83 إلى سنة 90، قرابة 7 سنوات. قال فاستعاره مني ابن خزيمة، أخذ هذا التفسير ثم رده إلي بعد 2 سنين، فقال ابن خزيمة رحمه الله نظرت فيه من أوله إلى آخره وما أعلم على أديم الأرض، يعني على سطح الأرض، أعلم من محمد بن جرير، ولقد ظلمته الحنابلة.
So he said, from that which has been mentioned concerning the praise of his tafsir and likewise other books, is that which was mentioned by Abu Bakr al-Balawi, who said that Ibn Khuzaymah, who was known as the Imam of the Imams, he says that he said to him that it has reached me that you have transcribed with you the tafsir of Ibn Jarir. So I said, yes. He said, how long did it take you to transcribe it from him? He said, from the year 280 up to about 90, somewhere around 7 years. He says that, so he asked to take the book from me, and he took the book from me, and he kept it with him for 2 years. He says, after which he returned the book back to me. And he said to me, when returning the book back, that I looked through this book from its beginning all the way to its end. He says, the result of that, I did not know on the face of the earth anyone who was more knowledgeable than Ibn Jarir Tabari.
وقول ابن خزيمة رحمه الله وقد ظلمته الحنابلة، هذا يبين لنا سبب تأليف الإمام محمد بن جرير لهذه الرسالة وهي صريح السنة. وقوله هنا ظلمته الحنابلة يعني بعض الحنابلة في عصر ابن جرير رحمه الله.
So in the aforementioned narration, it was mentioned that after that he said that the Hanabila have wronged him. The Hanabila, they oppressed, meaning Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. And the meaning of his statement that, or the statement of Ibn Khuzaymah when he said that the Hanabila oppressed them, he means that yani, some of the Hanabila who were around during his time, they had oppressed them and what they said about him, and that was the reason for him writing this book, Sarih al-Sunnah.
ومن الحنابلة في عصره ممن قام على ابن جرير واتهمه في قضية القول باللفظ في القرآن وأنه على غير اعتقاد أهل السنة في قضية القرآن. والقضية الثانية التي اتهم بها وهي نسبته إلى التشيع. ومن هنا ألف هذه الرسالة رحمه الله ليبرئ نفسه من هذه العقائد الضالة.
He says from that which has been mentioned from the Hanabila during his time is that some of them accused him during his time of making statements regarding lafz of the Quran, that the articulation of the Quran is created. He says, and they will accuse him of not being upon the creed of Ahl al-Sunnah wa Jama'ah in this issue. The second issue that some of the people had wrongly accused him of during his time was at-tashayyu', that he inclined towards the beliefs of the Shia. Due to this, he wrote a book freeing himself of these slanders.
وهذا ما ذكره الذهبي رحمه الله. قال إن ابن أبي داود قام وأصحابه على ابن جرير. ابن أبي داود تعرفون له الحائية المشهورة. قام على ابن جرير هو أصحابه ونسبوه إلى بدعة اللفظ. وسيأتي دراسة وبيان الكلام عن هذه القضية. قال فصنف معتقدا حسنا سمعناه تنصل فيه مما قيل عنه وتألم لذلك. تنصل أي تبرأ من هذه العقائد الضالة وتألم شديد الألم لنسبته لمثل هذه الأمور. لذلك سيمر علينا في هذه الرسالة شدته على هؤلاء الذين اتهموه. ولا نريد أن نخوض في أصل هذا الخلاف وسببه، وإنما العبرة أو الخلاصة أن هؤلاء كلهم أئمة، وأنه حصلت لهذا الإمام هذه المحنة، وأنه تبرأ من هذه الأقوال الضالة. فيجب علينا فهم عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة في هذه المسائل.
So he says that, and this is that which has been mentioned regarding his time, regarding him, Imam al-Dhahabi alayhi rahmatullah. He goes on to mention how Ibn Abi Dawood and his companions, and Ibn Abi Dawood is well known, he's the author of Al-Ha'iyah, the poem Al-Ha'iyah, clarifying the creed of Ahl al-Sunnah. He said, but him, Ibn Abi Dawood, and his companions are amongst those who wronged him, are amongst those who said what they said concerning him and accused him of these things. He says, and so you'll find that Imam al-Tabari, he, inside of his book, or al-Dhahabi, he goes on to mention that, he, so as a result of that, he authored a good and excellent book of creed in which he freed himself severely. And the Sheikh, he's saying that as you're going to go through the book, you're going to see those certain points which they slandered him about, you see he harps upon them sternly and severely, freeing himself of those specific issues. He says, and so, that the intent here is not to go into the usul of this difference, meaning why is it that they said that about him and things like that. He said, but the intent here is to clarify that this imam, he is free of that creed that they attributed to him, and likewise to clarify the importance of the servant knowing the sound creed and the correct belief system.
ونشرع في قراءة هذه الرسالة ونسأل الله عز وجل لنا ولكم الإعانة.
So now we're going to begin into the Risala and we ask Allah Ta'ala for us and for you to be aided in it.
تقرأ الترجمة ولا كيف؟
الترجمة موجودة.
عندهم الأخوة. اقرأ السند.
كما ترجمة؟
لا. سند.
هنا. مطوش أقل أنت قرش.
طيب. قال بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أخبرنا الشيخ أبو محمد الحسن بن علي بن الحسين بن الحسن الأسدي قال أنبأنا جدي أبو القاسم الحسين بن الحسن بن محمد الأسدي قال أنبأنا أبو القاسم علي بن أبي العلاء قال أنبأنا أبو محمد عبد الرحمن بن عثمان بن أبي نصر قال أنبأنا أبو سعيد عمرو بن محمد بن يحيى الدينوري قال قرئ على أبي جعفر محمد بن جرير الطبري وأنا أسمع. بدأ هذه الرسالة بالإسناد لهذه الرسالة، كما قلنا هذه الرسالة مشهورة عن الإمام ولا شك في صحتها إليه، ورواها جمع من أهل العلم.
So he begins after mentioning the name of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. Allah Ta'ala exalt the rank of our leader Muhammad, his family and his followers. And there's no strength, no might except for Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. It was narrated to us by the Sheikh Abu Muhammad Hassan ibn Ali al-Hussein ibn al-Hassan al-Asadi, and we were informed by my grandfather Abu Qasim al-Hussein ibn al-Hassan
ila Muhammad ibn Jarir
up to Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari. He says that he begins the book by way of mentioning the isnad, or the chain of narration. He says this is so that we know or we're sure that the book is attributed to the Imam al-Tabari alayhi rahmatullah. There's no doubt in its ascription to him.
بدأ رحمه الله بالحمد لله سبحانه وتعالى، فقال الحمد لله مفلج الحق وناصره ومدحض الباطل وماحقه. مفلج الحق هو من انفلج أي أشرق، بمعنى أنه ظهر وأشرق الحق، وأن الله عز وجل ينصر عباده أهل التوحيد ويدحض أن يبين ضلال وخطأ الباطل.
So thereafter he mentions that the praise belongs to Allah who makes plain the truth. He said the meaning, he begins the statement, begins the book by way of the hamd of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, praising Allah Azza wa Jal, referring to him as Mufalij al-Haq, that he is the one, and the intended meaning of Mufalij al-Haq is that he makes it manifest. And he clarifies it, and thus by way of that clarifying a falsehood and the path of misguidance.
الذي اختار الإسلام لنفسه دينا فأمر به وأحاطه وتوكل بحفظه وضمن إظهاره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون، ثم اصطفى من خلقه رسلا ابتعثهم بالدعاء إليه وأمرهم بالقيام به والصبر على ما نابهم فيه من جهلة خلقه، وامتحنهم من المحن بصنوف وابتلاهم من البلاء بضروب، تكريما لهم غير تذليل وتشريفا غير تخسير، ورفع بعضهم فوق بعض درجات، فكان أرفعهم عنده درجة، أجدهم إمضاء أي أعظمهم وأجراءهم وأصبرهم مع شدة المحن، وأقربهم إليه زلفى وأحسنهم إنفاذا لما أرسله به من عظيم البلية.
So thereafter, he says that he is the one who has chosen Islam for himself as a religion. Thus he has commanded with up to the end of this portion, wherein the Sheikh, he mentions that and the intended meaning behind that he has elevated some messengers degrees above others, so that the most elevated amongst them, according to him, were those who were the strongest in determination, despite the severity of the test, meaning that those who were the most patient, those who had the most patient, when those tests, when those trials and calamities came to them, they will attain the greatest reward, up to the end of this section on page 30.
وهذه المقدمة تضمنت جملة من الفوائد، منها أن الحق منصور ولو بعد حين، وأن العاقبة للمتقين، ومنها أن الأنبياء وأتباعهم مبتلون في ذات الله عز وجل، ومنها أن العبد كلما كان أعظم تقربا إلى الله كلما ازداد عليه البلاء واشتد، ومنها أن البلاء والصبر عليه من أعظم أسباب رفعة الدرجات وتكفير السيئات، ومنها أيضا وهي فائدة جليلة، وهي أن الإمامة في الدين لا تنال إلا بالصبر واليقين، كما قاله الأئمة، لأن العبد تأتيه الفتن من جهتين، من جهة الشبهات ومن جهة الشهوات، فالواجب أن يقابل الشهوات بالصبر، وأن يواجه الشبهات باليقين، فعند ذلك يكون من أئمة الدين، كما قال تعالى: وجعلنا منهم أئمة يهدون بأمرنا لما صبروا وكانوا بآياتنا يوقنون. فجمع بين الصبر واليقين، ولما أثنى الله على أهل على الأنبياء قال: أولو الأيدي والأبصار. أولو الأيدي أي أولو القوة، وهذا الصبر، والأبصار أي اليقين من البصيرة، هذا من أعظم صفاتهم أن جمعوا بين الصبر واليقين.
Sheikh, he mentions that from this muqaddimah you find a number of benefits. There are summarized as follows. Firstly, is that the haq is going to be victorious even if after some time, and that the good end is for the pious. Secondly, is that the prophets and their followers are going to be tested for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third benefit is that the more near that a servant is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more severe his test is going to be. Fourthly, is that tests and trials, or tests and patience upon those tests and trials, is a means of the elevation of one's level and a means of one's sins being removed. Fifthly, is that, and this is from the greatest of benefits, is that imamate and leadership in the religion is not established except by way of sabr and yaqeen, except by way of patience and certainty. He says, because the servant is going to be tried, and the fitna that comes to the servant are going to be from one of two angles. Firstly, the fitna of a shubuhat. Secondly, is the fitna of a shahawat. He says, so in relation to the fitna of a shahawat, it's obligatory that one face them with sabr, with patience. And in relation to the fitna of a shubuhat, then it is obligatory that one face that, encounter that with yaqeen and certainty. So therefore, imamate in the religion is not established for a person except by way of these two affairs, patience and certainty. And this is as Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the side of his book, and we made from amongst them imams, once they are imams who are guiding to our path, once they were patient and once they had certainty. He says, and so here, we find these two characteristics, or they were certain our verses. Here we find these two characteristics being combined, that of sabr, patience, and that of certainty. He says, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he commends and speaks well about his anbiya and his prophets, he mentions concerning them that they were the aid, they were people of strength, wa absar, and they are people who had basira. He says, and so in relation to strength, this is that patience that they were required to have, and in relation to that basira or absar, this is in relation to them having certainty or that yaqeen. And so this is amongst the greatest of the characteristics of the anbiya.
ثم ذكر الأدلة رحمه الله على أن أهل الإيمان مبتلون وأنهم يجب عليهم أن يوطنوا أنفسهم على هذا البلاء حتى ينجحوا في هذا الاختبار فترتفع الدرجات ويكفر الله عز وجل السيئات. فذكر قوله تعالى يقول الله عز وجل في محكم كتابه لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم فاصبر كما صبر أولو العزم من الرسل. فهذا أمر من الله عز وجل لنبيه أن يصبر، وهو أمر لأهل الإيمان جميعا أن يصبروا كما صبر الأنبياء كما صبر أتباع الأنبياء على الإيمان. وهذا من أعظم الصفات التي تميزوا بها حتى بقي ذكرهم. لذلك قيل للشافعي رحمه الله أيما أفضل للرجل أن يمكن أو يبتلى؟ فقال لا يمكن حتى يبتلى، والله تعالى ابتلى أولو العزم من الرسل فلما صبروا مكنهم، فلا يظن أحد أنه يخلص من الألم البتة، فلا يظن أحد أنه يخلص من الألم البتة، لأنه لا بد أن يبتلى في عقيدته في إيمانه في إسلامه في توحيده. تأتيه الابتلاءات بأنواعها من القريب والبعيد، وكلما طال العهد وبعد عن عهد النبوة كلما زادت الفتن، هذا من أشراط الساعة، يزداد على العبد وجوب اليقين والصبر ومواجهة هذه الفتن.
نعم. So then thereafter, the author goes on to cite some evidences that the people of Iman are going to be tested, and that it is a must that they condition themselves and prepare themselves for these tests in order to be safe and secure from sins and in order to be elevated in levels and degrees. And so he mentions in the first ayah, so be patient just as ul azam min al-rusul, just as the messengers of strong will, they were patient. He says, so in this last, the command to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to have patience. And likewise, the command, it extends to all people, because the commands that come to the prophets are likewise to the followers of the prophets. He says that we have patience. And this is from the greatest of that of those attributes with which the people of Iman are distinguished. For this reason, the Shafi'i, when he was asked, what is better, for the servant to be firm or for the servant to be patient? He said that firmness cannot come about except after one is patient. He says, and so, therefore, one is not to think, not even for a second, that he's going to be safe from pain. So it is inevitable, without doubt, that we're going to be tried and tested. We'll be tried and tested for the sake of our aqidah, tried and tested in relation to our iman, tried and tested in relation to our Islam, tried and tested in relation to our tawheed, with various types of trials and tests. He says, and so therefore, the more distant, and the tests are going to get more and more severe, the more distant the people are away from the time frame of prophethood, the fitan, they're going to increase. So therefore, we must increase in our patience and our certainty in order to face these trials.
وقال له صلى الله عليه وسلم ولأتباعه رضوان الله عليهم أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء، أي مسهم جميع الأمراض والابتلاءات والآلام والمصائب وزلزلوا زلزلوا زلزالا شديدا وامتحنوا امتحانا عظيما حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله؟ ألا إن نصر الله قريب. فهذه تفيد أن العبد لا بد له من النظر في سير الأولين، وهذا من أعظم أسباب الصبر على البلاء، حين يعلم أن الأنبياء السابقين الأئمة المهديين والصحابة ابتلوا وعذبوا وأوذوا، فيقرأ قصصهم ويعرف أخبارهم، فهذا مما يعينه على الصبر على البلاء. ولذلك استخدم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا الأسلوب في تصبير أهل الإسلام وأهل الإيمان على العقيدة الصحيحة. فلما جاء خباب بن الأرت رضي الله تعالى عنه إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يشكو ما يجد هو وأصحابه من تعذيب كفار قريش لهم، فقال: يا رسول الله، ألا تدعو لنا؟ ألا تستنصر لنا؟ فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: قد كان من قبلكم يؤخذ الرجل، انظر إلى شدة البلاء وشدة الصبر، كان الرجل يؤخذ فيحفر له في الأرض فيجعل فيها، ثم يؤتى بالمنشار فيوضع على رأسه فيجعل نصفين، ويمشط بأمشاط الحديد ما دون لحمه وعظمه، يؤتى بالمشط ويمشط جلده وعظمه، ما يصده ذلك عن دينه. ثم بشرهم بتمام هذا الأمر وأن العاقبة لأهل الإيمان.
So the Shaykh, he mentions that thereafter, he mentioned a statement of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, which he said to his prophet and those who follow him: or do you think that you will enter paradise without such trials as came to those who passed away before you? But they were afflicted with severe poverty and ailments, and were so shaken that even the messenger and those who believed along with him said, when will the help of Allah come? The Shaykh, he says that, and so meaning that the people, they are surely going to be tested. It's inevitable. They're going to be tested with sicknesses. They're going to be tested with all types of trials and calamities. He says that it is inevitable that the people will surely be tested. So therefore, it is incumbent upon us to look into the seerah of those first and foremost people, those who came before us. He says, and so this is amongst the greatest means that will aid us in being patient. So the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, he would often look to, or he would utilize this style in inculcating the affair of patience inside of his companions and teaching them patience. He says, and so teaching them to be patient upon the correct belief system. We have this narration of Khabab ibn Arad, when she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam complaining about the torment of the Quraysh and how they were tormenting the believers. He says that he said to him, O Messenger of Allah, will you not seek the help of Allah for us? He says, so look at this, what he mentioned to him inside this narration. Look at the patience, at the level of calamity and the level of patience upon the calamity. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, then indeed those who came before you, They were tested to the point that a man would be brought and a hole would be dug and he would be placed inside of that hole, and a saw would be brought and placed in the middle of his head, and he was sawn into two halves. And likewise, a man would be brought and iron combs would be used to rake his skin off of his body, but none of that would turn him back upon his religion. He says, and so thereafter, he gave him glad tidings. He gave him glad tidings regarding the fact that the good end is going to be for the pious.
وذكر أيضا بعض الآيات في هذا المعنى في آية الأحزاب قال هنالك ابتلي المؤمنون وزلزلوا زلزالا شديدا فإذا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه حصل لهم هذا الابتلاء لا شك أنت من باب أولى وأنك يجب أن تهيئ نفسك للصبر على هذا البلاء خصوصا إذا علمت أن العباد كلهم مبتلون العباد كلهم مبتلون ألف لام ميم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون لا بد أن تأتيك الفتنة ولا بد أن يأتيك البلاء ولقد فتن الذين من قبلهم كما حصل لمن سبق سيحصل لك ثم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين بهذه الابتلاءات يميز الله عز وجل الخبيث من الطيب كما قال تعالى ما كان الله ليذر المؤمنين على ما أنتم عليه حتى يميز الخبيث من الطيب.
So thereafter, he mentioned some more verses in clarification of this reality. From that, he mentioned the verses that have come in Surah Al-Ahzab, wherein Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, he mentioned that the believers were tested and shaken with a severe shaking. He says, and so when they were shaken and when they were tested with these tests, what was their characteristic? They were patient upon these tests and upon these trials. He says, so it is inevitable. The people must know that it's inevitable that believers, they're going to be tested. They're going to be tried with calamities and fitting. But it's incumbent upon them when these tests come for them to be patient. He says, likewise, Allah Ta'ala, he mentions, Alif Lam Mim, do the people think that they will be left to say, we believe, and they will not be tried and tested. He says, yani, this is something which is of a surety it shall occur. Test, trials, calamities, they will surely occur. But he says, we have severely tried those who came before them, and Allah will surely make evident those who are truthful, he will surely make evident the liars. Meaning that these tests and these trials, when they come, it is the means by way of which Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala distinguishes between the khabith and the tayyib, between the one who was a wicked and the one who was good and pure. As Allah Ta'ala mentioned inside of his book, that the people will not be left alone until Allah Ta'ala distinguishes those who are khabith from those who are tayyib.
ثم قال رحمه الله فلم يخلي جل ثناؤه أحدا من مكرم رسله ومقرب أوليائه من محنة في عاجلة دون آجلة أي أن الله عز وجل سيبتلي جميع العباد وجميع من اتبع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وآمن به.
So thereafter, he says, and thus he, Allah be his praise, did not exempt anyone amongst his noble messengers and close allies from being tested in the worldly life as opposed to the hereafter. He says that all of this shows that everyone is going to be tested. All of the messengers and all of those who follow the messengers, all of them are going to be tested and tried.
لماذا يبتلي الله عز وجل العباد؟ ليستوجب بصبره عليها من ربه من الكرامة ما أعد له. إذن هذا البلاء مع كونه فيه ألم ولكنه من أسباب رفعة درجة العبد عند الله عز وجل وأن أشد الناس بلاء هم أعظمهم إيمانا الأنبياء ثم الأمثل فالأمثل فكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يبتلى الرجل على حسب دينه يبتلى الرجل على حسب دينه إن كان صلبا اشتد بلاؤه وإن كان في دينه رقة ابتلي على حسب دينه حتى يمشي العبد على الأرض وليس عليه خطيئة أي أن هذا البلاء من جهة هو نعمة على العبد، كفر الله عز وجل بها عنه الخطايا. وليكن في ذهننا قول ورقة بن نوفل حين قال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما جاء رجل بمثل ما جئت به إلا عودي. ذي قاعدة ضعها في ذهنك، خصوصا أهل السنة من يدعو إلى التوحيد الصحيح، العقيدة السليمة، هي دعوة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: إلم أنك ستعادى. يجب أن توطن نفسك على الثبات. ما جاء أحد وما جاء رجل بمثل ما جئت به إلا عودي.
So all are going to be tested, the prophets and those who follow them. So it is incumbent upon us, or why is it that we're going to be tested? He said that these tests, they come as a means of nobility for those who are tried with them. That is equivalent to nothing. He says, so this pain that we feel and trials and tests that come to us, it is a means of being elevated in levels with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And the most severely tried and tested are those who have the strongest iman, meaning the prophets, and then those who are like them, and those who are like them. So the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that a man is going to be tried in accordance with his deen, with his religion. He says, so therefore, if the religion of the person is strong, then the tests are going to be intense and strong. If the religion of the person, it has some flimsiness or it's kind of weak, then he's going to be tried in accordance with the level of his iman, until he walks upon the earth having no sins upon him. So these trials and tests that come to us, they are ni'mah from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for the servant. They are a means by way of which Allah expiates our sins and removes them from us. Due to this, Waraqa bin Nawfal, he said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that no man has come with the likes of what you're about to come with, except that he was harmed by his people. He said, let this be a qaida with the people of Sunnah, and know of a surety that you are upon the call of the prophets and messengers, the call to Tawheed. So therefore, just as the prophets were harmed, you're going to be harmed. As no one came with the likes of what the Messenger of Allah came with, except that he was harmed. So therefore, we must condition ourselves upon thabat and upon firmness when these trials come to us.
ثم جعل تعالى جل وعلا ذكره علماء كل أمة نبي ابتعثه منهم وراثه من بعده والقوام بالدين بعد اخترامه إليه وقبضه، أي بعد وفاة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، جعل الله علماء الدين لنصرة هذا الدين، وأولهم أصحاب رسول الله، ثم القرون المفضلة التابعين ومن بعدهم من أئمة الدين الذابين عن عراه وأسبابه والحامين عن أعلامه وشرائعه والناصبين دونه لمن بغاه، أي يعادون من عاد هذا الحق وعاد الدين، والدافعين عنه كيد الشيطان وضلاله. فهنا يثني على أئمة الإسلام الذين ينشرون الدين بعد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد الصحابة وهكذا إلى عصرنا هذا. وهذا من أعظم صفات أئمة السنة، لذلك الإمام أحمد رحمه الله في مقدمته قال: ويصبرون منهم على الأذى.
Now, thereafter, he goes on to mention that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he mentions in commendation and praise of the scholars, he says that Allah ta'ala produced from every nation sent prophets a group of scholars as inheritors after them, meaning that once the prophets passed away, Allah ta'ala, he produced, he raised up ulama, imams, those who aided his religion, and from the sahaba up until the time, those who were with them up until the time in which we live, he said those scholars who inheritors after them, those who would carry their religion after he concludes the matter and takes their souls. They are those who defend the religion from bankruptcy and its causes, those who protect its limits and its legislation. He says that this is the that which we find from our scholars. As Imam Ahmed alayhi rahmatullah, he likewise mentioned, that this will be an affair of patience upon this hardship.
ثم ذكر الطبري رحمه الله جملة من الثناء على أهل العلم فضلهم بشرف العلم وكرمهم بوقار الحلم وجعلهم للدين وأهله أعلاما وللإسلام والهدى منارا وللخلق قادة وللعباد أئمة وسادة إليهم مقرعهم عند الحاجة أي إذا جاءت الملمات وجاءت الفتن يرجع الناس إلى علمائهم قال وبهم استغاثتهم عند النائبة أي عند المصيبة المقصود هنا أن يستغيثون بهم في حياتهم هذه استغاثة الجائزة وإلا الاستغاثة بالأموات هذا من الشرك بالله عز وجل لكن الاستغاثة الجائزة أي أنهم يرجعون ويطلبون العون والنجاة من الفتن وأسباب النجاة من أهل العلم لا يثنيهم عند التعطف والتحنن عليهم سوء ما هم من أنفسهم يولون أي أنهم ينصحون الخلق ولو كان هؤلاء الخلق أو منهم من يسيء إليهم فهم ينصحون لله عز وجل وهذا ينبغي أن يكون شعار العبد في إخلاصه لله عز وجل في النصيحة وإسدائها لمن يحب ومن لا يحب
Now, thereafter he goes on to mention some of the praiseworthy characteristics of these ulama and how Allah Ta'ala commends them. He says that Allah favored them with the nobility of knowledge, and he honored them with the dignity of forbearance, and he made them to be symbols for their religion and its people, and for Islam, lamps of correct guidance, and for the creation they were leaders, and for the slaves they were imams and leaders in times of necessity. He says that, so the meaning that by way of this, he made them to be, this is a phrase and commendation that have come for these ulama. He made them to be reference points, the people that are able to return to their scholars when they are in need of them to ask them questions the likes of this. He says that, so they are their shelter in times of disaster. He says, meaning this is that permissible type of istighatha, that they return their affairs back to their scholars. They ask them questions, and they seek rulings and so on and so forth. Not the type of istighatha that entails going to the graves and beseeching the dead and the likes of this, but rather ask for the istighatha of returning to them in times of difficulty, asking questions, asking for clarity in the religion. This is that which is permissible. He says so. Thereafter, he mentions that to whom they seek relief and evil that they flee from themselves and cannot praise them when feeling sympathy or compassion for them. He says, so Shaykh mentions that, meaning that the people, these scholars, they would advise the people. They would advise them, even if the people, they tend to harm them, they would give advice to them. And this is from the perspective of, from ikhlas and sincerity, that if the people seek your advice, or they are in need of your advice, you advise them, whether these are people that you like or people that you dislike, you still have nasiha for them.
قال ولا تصدهم عن الرقة عليهم والرأفة بهم قبح ما إليه ما يأتون أي أنهم لا يمنعهم كون هؤلاء على المعاصي وعلى الفجور أن ينظر إليهم بعين الرحمة والشفقة وذكر ابن القيم رحمه الله أن العبد لا بد له أن ينظر إلى أهل الفجور أو أهل العصيان بعينين عين الرحمة وعين الشرع عين الرحمة فيشفق عليهم ويرحمهم مما وقعت أنفسهم فيه من المعاصي وعين الشرع يقيم شرع الله عز وجل إما بالهجر أو بالحدود إذا كان ولي أمر ولهذا كان أهل السنة هم أرحم الناس بالناس.
Thereafter he mentions that he says so therefore this would not prevent them from being kind to them and being compassionate with them the fact that they would come to them and they would harm them. He says that meaning by way of this that this the harm of the people And that which they are upon from wickedness and sin will not prevent them from looking at them with compassion and being kind and good to them. As Ibn Qayyim, he mentions that the people of Sunnah look at the people of wickedness and transgression with two eyes. Firstly is the eye of Rahmah, and then secondly the eye of the legislation. So when you look at them from the eye of Rahmah, then yani, you are merciful, you are compassionate to them for what they have fallen into of sin and transgression. And when you look at them from the eye of the legislation, then this means that the legislation must be implemented upon them, whether that is by way of abandoning them and boycotting them, or by way of implementing the prescribed punishment if one is the ruler. From this angle, Ahl Sunnah is the most merciful of the people to the people.
قال هنا محرما منعهم طلب جزيل ثواب الله فيهم وتوخيا طلب رضا الله في الأخذ بالفضل عليهم. العبارة فيها خطأ والصواب في بعض النسخ تحريا منهم وليس محرما منعهم. تحريا منهم طلبوا أو طلب جزيل ثواب الله، أي أنهم نصحوا هؤلاء العباد مع أنهم أساءوا إليهم ونظروا إليهم بعين الرحمة. لماذا؟ تحريا منهم لثواب الله. فقوله محرما منعهم، لا أعلم ما ترجمتها، الصواب أي تحريا منهم طلب جزيل الثواب، لأنهم يتحرون بفعلهم هذا ثواب الله سبحانه وتعالى وتوخي رضا الله عز وجل وأن يتفضل عليهم.
نعم. So thereafter, he mentions that, نعم. And so they would do this, here inside of the Arabic text there is a mistake. What is correct is that it should say تحرين منهم, that they bear what they bear from the people of harm, seeking the thawab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, and likewise seeking Allah Ta'ala's good pleasure by way of being kind and good to them. So this means that, yani, that they seek whatever they seek, or they, you know, they bear whatever they bear from the people. They are kind to them, gentle with them, advising them, in spite of the fact that the people are harsh with them and they harm them, but they bear that anyway, seeking by way of that the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from dealing with the people, and likewise seeking the good pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of their fadl, by way of their being good to them.
ثم ذكر ثناء الله عز وجل على علماء هذه الأمة منهم الصحابة، ثم جعل جل ثناؤه ذكره علماء أمة نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم من أفضل علماء الأمم التي خلت قبلها فيما كان قسم لهم من المنازل والدرجات والمراتب والكرامات قسما، وأجزل لهم فيه حظا ونصيبا مع ابتلاء الله. أي هذا كله في بيان فضل علماء الأمة وعلو مكانتهم، ومن مكانتهم ما حصل لهم من الابتلاء وكيف واجهوه بالصبر. وذكر جملة من أنواع هذا الابتلاء، قال مع ابتلاء الله أفاضلها بمنافقيها وليس بمنافعها، بمنافقيها أفاضلها بمنافقيها، وامتحانه خيارها بشرارها ورفعائها بسفلها ووضعائها، وأضف واو هنا ووضعائها، فلم يكن يثنيهم ما كان به منهم يبتلون، أي أنهم يصبرون على هذا البلاء، ولا كان يصدهم ما في الله منهم يلقون عن النصيحة لله في عباده وبلاده أيام حياتهم، أي كانوا في حياتهم يبذلون النصيحة حتى ولو كان على قطع رقابهم، بل كانوا بعلمهم على جهلهم يعودون، أي على جهالهم يعودون، وبحلمهم لسفههم أي لسفه الناس يتعمدون أو يتغمدون، يصبرون على الناس وعلى سفهة الناس وعلى ما يلقون من عوام الناس. وهكذا ينبغي الداعية إلى الله عز وجل أن يصبر على أذى الناس، وبفضلهم على نقصهم يأخذون.
So the Shaykh, he mentions thereafter, he goes on to speak in commendation of the ulama of this ummah and how Allah Ta'ala, he made the ulama of this ummah to be the best of the ulama of all of the previous nations. He said then, he, lofty is his praise and his mention, made the scholars of the nation of our Prophet Muhammad the most superior of scholars of all nations which passed away before. He said he portioned for them stations of degrees, virtues, and nobility. Thus, he generously gave them a share and a portion. So, he said, so the scholars of this ummah are the best of the scholars, and then at the head of them are the Sahaba, and then those who came after them up until this day of ours. He said, and it's in spite of him testing the righteous with, and there is a khata there in the Arabic text, it should be munafiqiha, and not munafiriha. He says, he tested the righteous with the hypocrites, and likewise testing the good people with evil people. He said, and the lofty ones with the lowly ones. He says, so they, in spite of all of this, they were not dissuaded by what they were being tested with, meaning that that they were patient, and they patiently bore whatever harm they had encountered by way of the ignorant people. So this is how the caller should be. He should be patient with the foolish, those who seek to harm them, those who harm them by way of their speech and the likes of this, and in the da'i to Allah Ta'ala, he should be patient in dealing with the people and their harm.
واستمر في الثناء على أهل العلم، قال: بل كان لا يرضى كبير منهم ما أزلفه لنفسه عند الله من فضل ذلك أيام حياته، وادخر منه من كريم الذخائر لديه قبل مماته. هذا كله في الثناء على أهل العلم وبيان تواضعهم مع ما أكرمهم الله عز وجل من علو المنزلة، حتى تبقى لمن بعدهم آثاراً على الأيام باقية. مواقفهم هذه وصبرهم على البلاء تبقى قدوة لمن بعدهم، يقرؤون قصصهم ويهتدون بهداهم، ولهم إلى الرشاد هادية. ثم دعا لهم قال: جزاهم الله عن أمة نبيهم أفضل ما جزى عالم أمة عنهم، وحباهم من الثواب أجزل ثواب، وجعلنا ممن قسم له من صالح ما قسم لهم، وألحقنا بمنازلهم، وكرمنا أو أكرمنا بحبهم ومعرفة حقوقهم، وأعاذنا والمسلمين جميعا من مرديات الأهواء ومضلات الآراء، إنه سميع الدعاء. وهذا يفيدنا أن من حق أهل العلم السابقين الدعاء لهم والترضي عن الصحابة والرحمة لمن كان له فضل علينا من أئمة الإسلام في القديم وفي الحديث.
So thereafter, he goes on more to speak regarding the virtue of these scholars, and he says that they would use their knowledge to respond to ignorance and their forbearance to respond to foolishness. He said, and they would take from their virtue over their shortcomings. Rather, the elders amongst them were not satisfied with what he had stored from good for Allah Ta'ala during his lifetime, although they stored a great amount of good before their deaths, so that there will remain for those after them lasting effects for the days and as a guide for him to the, guide for them to the straight path. He says, so these scholars, and at the head of them are the companions and other than them, he says, this is how they were. He says, nah, that they would leave behind good for those who came before them. So this is in order that they can be an example. Their positions which they took, their patience in the face of these trials and calamities is an example for those who came after them. The stories which are narrated about them, we listen to these stories and we hear them, and they are an example for those who come after them. Thereafter, he goes on to make dua for those ulama. He says, may Allah Ta'ala reward them on behalf of the nation and of their prophet, the best of what a scholar has ever rewarded a nation. He says, and may he grant those of us for whom he allocated goodness the likes of what he allocated for them. And may he join us with their stations generously, bestow on us love of them and awareness of their rights, and grant us and all of the Muslims refuge from destructive desires and misguiding thoughts. Indeed, he is the one who hears supplications. He said, this shows us that from the rights that the people of knowledge have upon us is that we supplicate for them. From the head of them, from the companions, we make taraddi, we ask Allah to be pleased upon the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we supplicate for all of the scholars in general to have firmness and to attain the best reward.
ثم ذكر أيضا من مكانة العلماء أنهم يهدون أهل الجهل إلى الحق. قال ثم إنه لم يزل من بعد مضي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لسبيله، أي بعد وفاة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، حوادث في كل دهر تحدث ونوازل في كل عصر تنزل، لأن هناك بعض الأمور من المحدثات تحدث بعد عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيجب الحذر منها، كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: سيأتيكم أقوام يحدثونكم بما لم تسمعوا أنتم ولا آباؤكم فإياكم وإياهم. فما واجب العلماء هنا هو كشف هذه الأباطيل والتحذير من هذه الضلالات، كما قال ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: والله ما أظن على ظهر الأرض أحد أحب إلى الشيطان هلاكا مني. قيل: كيف؟ قال: إنه ليحدث البدعة في المشرق أو المغرب فيحملها رجل إلي فأقمعها بالسنة فترد عليه. وهذا من فضل العلماء أنهم يحذرون من الضلال ويبينون الحق والسنة.
So thereafter, he continues to highlight the virtue of these scholars and what they and how they guide the ignorant. He says, then indeed they did not cease after the death of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he passed away, of being newly invented matters that transpire in every era and misfortune that descended in every age. The Shaykh, he says that, he says that this is in reference to the innovations that appeared from during the time of the Prophet and up to after his time frame. So for this reason, the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam warned against these innovations, as do the ulama after him. The Prophet alayhi wasallam, he said that there will continue to be after me people who will speak with that which neither you nor your fathers recognize. So therefore, you beware of them, and they are to beware as well. He says, and this is in relation to those newly invented matters that the people they spread and they warn. And our scholars similarly warn against these innovations. For this reason, you have Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, who said that, I don't think that there is upon the face of the earth anyone who Shaitan wants to see dead more than me. And he was asked, why is that? He said, because a man invents an innovation in the east or west of the earth, or Shaitan invents an innovation in the east or west of the earth, and a man carries that innovation to me, and I counter that innovation with the sunnah, thus it returns right back to him. He says, and so this also is from the virtue of our scholars, that they warn against these innovations and these deviations so that we can beware of them.
ثم قال رحمه الله في بيان أن هؤلاء أهل العلم حين يفزع الجاهل إلى العالم فيكشف فيها العالم سدف الظلام أي ظلمة هذا الجهل فيكشفها بالعلم الذي آتاه الله وفضله به على غيره، إما من أثر أي دليل وحديث وآية، أو من نظر أي باجتهاد. وهذا يفيدنا أهمية العلم والتعلم، وأنه من أعظم أسباب النجاة من الفتن. ثم ذكر جملة من المسائل التي حصل فيها النزاع والتي تكلم عنها في هذه الرسالة، والتي أيضاً هو اتهم في بعضها فبرأ نفسه ببيان عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة وأنه يعتقد هذه العقيدة. فذكر مسألة الصحابة والإمامة والخلافة، وهذا فيه الرد على من نسبه إلى ماذا؟ تشيع. ثم القول في أعمال العباد طاعتها ومعاصيها، وهل هي بقضاء الله وقدره أم الأمر في ذلك إليهم وليس المبهم، أم الأمر في ذلك إليهم مفوض. وهذه في مسألة القضاء والقدر، وسيأتي أيضا بيانها. ثم القول في الإيمان، هل هو قول وعمل أو هو قول بغير عمل؟ هذا الرد على المرجئة. وهل يزيد وينقص أم لا زيادة له ولا نقصان؟ وأيضا هذه سيأتي فيها بيان عقيدة السنة والجماعة. ثم القول في القرآن، هل هو مخلوق أو غير مخلوق؟ وهذه من المسائل أيضا التي اتهم فيها في قضية اللفظ بالقرآن، سيأتي بيانها. ثم رؤية المؤمنين ربهم تعالى يوم القيامة. ثم القول في ألفاظهم بالقرآن، ونركز على هذه القضية. قال: ثم حدث في دهرنا هذا حماقات، أي أشياء من الأقوال لا تخرج من عقل سليم يخوض فيها أهل الباطل، هذه البدع والمحدثات، خاض فيها أهل الجهل والغباء، ونوكى الأمة، النوكى أي الحمقى والرعاع، يتعب إحصاؤها، لأن البدع كثيرة، سواء البدع العملية أو الاعتقادية، ويمل تعدادها، فيها القول في اسم الشيء، أهو هو أم هو غيره. وهذه أيضا مسألة ستأتي، وهي الاسم، هل هو للمسمى أم هو غير المسمى، أم هو المسمى، هذه أيضا من المسائل الحادثة. ثم قال وختم: ونحن نبين الصواب لدينا من القول في ذلك إن شاء الله تعالى، وبالله التوفيق. ونختم بهذه الفائدة، وهو أن العبد أو المسلم إذا اتهم باتهام باطل فعليه أن يبين براءته من هذا الباطل، وأن يكون واضحا في عقيدته، وأن يكون مميزا بين الحق والباطل، لا تكون عقيدته على التمييع أو على الغمغمة، ويستخدم الألفاظ المجملة يفهم منها حق ويفهم منها الباطل. بل من أعظم ميزات أهل السنة وتفصيلهم في المعتقد، ذلك قال ابن القيم: فعليك بالتفصيل والتمييز. فالإطلاق والإجمال دون بيان قد أفسد هذا الوجود. من أعظم أسباب الفساد استخدام الألفاظ التي تحتمل حق وباطل. صاحب السنة في عقيدته ينبغي أن يكون واضحا، وأن يبعد الشبهات عنه، خصوصا إذا اتهم، ويبين قوله الحق في هذه المسألة، كما فعل الطبري هنا رحمه الله تعالى، ليبعد الشبهات عن نفسه، كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: حسبكم إنها صفية. ليبعد، ليضع قاعدة لإبعاد المسلم الشبهات عن نفسه حتى لا يكون في مواضع الريبة. وإن شاء الله في الدرس القادم سندخل في هذه العقائد وبيانها على وجه الإيجاز.
نعم. So the Sheikh, he went on to clarify or to mention that and from the earliest events that occurred after the death of the Prophet alayhi salam was a dispute amongst the ummah, in that which they differed concerning the best of them and the most deserving of leadership and the Khalifah. This is one of those issues, as we mentioned previously, that he was accused regarding, the issue of the Sahaba, his position regarding them. Mind you, we said that he was accused in the issue of a tashayya, of inclining towards the belief system of the Shia. So he goes on inside of the book as we dive further into it to clarify his position regarding this issue. He mentions thereafter, there was a question about the actions of the servants, their acts of obedience and disobedience. Were they by the decree of Allah through his power, or was it the matter? And here there is a mistake in the Arabic text. It says mubham, and it should not say mubham, it should be ilayhim, ilayhim. So is it a matter that happened by the decree of Allah, or is that matter up to them, is what it's saying. He says, and this is an issue connected to the qadr and the qadr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He says, and more speech regarding that's going to come in its proper place as well. He says, then thereafter he spoke regarding the issue of, or then the statement regarding the issue of iman. Is this statement an action, or is it statement without any action? Here he goes on to refute the murjia. He rebuts them and refutes them, and more speech regarding that is to come in its proper place as well. He says, and likewise, does it increase, or is there no increase or decrease to it? Thereafter, he says, then the statement regarding the Quran, is it created or is it not created? He says that, he says, and this is also is an issue that he was accused regarding. Mind you, we spoke about the issue of the lafziyah and how he was accused of speaking with the statement of love, and with more regarding that is to come as well. He said, then there was the question of the believers seeing their Lord, exalted be He, on the Day of Judgment. Thereafter, there was the question about their vocalization of the Quran. Yani the love of the Quran is what we're speaking about. Yani, he's going to go in detail regarding this point as we dive further into the book. Then in our time, there took place this foolishness which the people of ignorance and stupidity dove into, and the imbeciles and the riffraff, meaning those who are foolish and have foolish notions and foolish ideas, those affairs which they brought from innovations and newly invented matters, it came about by way of them. And this is whether any kind of bid'ah it may be, whether it is the bid'ah al-amaliyah connected to actions, or bid'ah that is connected to creed and beliefs. He says that, and so he says that, and they came fatigued with its reckoning and weary of its calculation. In our time came the question regarding the name of a thing. And this is an issue that he mentions, the Sheikh, he explained it in reference to naming things. Does the thing that is named, is it actually what it's named with, or is it something else? Does it bear the meaning of something else? He says, and we clarify the correct stance, meaning inside of this book, amongst the view, the various views regarding that, inshallah ta'ala. The Sheikh, he says that, we're going to stop here, but in stopping here, we want to mention the conclusion that it is incumbent upon the servant, especially if he is accused regarding the issues of his creed or his manhaj and things like this, that he clarify the truth from falsehood. He says if he is accused, and even if he's accused in falsehood and batil, he says he clarifies and he be clear regarding what his aqidah is. And he be one who distinguishes truth from falsehood. He is not a person who his creed is subject to tamyi' and being watered down, and he can be accused regarding the affairs of his creed and his belief. He says because many of calamities they spread amongst the ummah due to a lack of clarity. He says and from the greatest signs of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that they are clear and they are detailed regarding what they believe in, the affairs of creed. And Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah alayhi rahmatullah, he mentioned this, that it is incumbent upon the servant that he be a person of tamyiz, that he clearly distinguish between truth and falsehood. He says because from the greatest means of fasad spreading in the earth is a lack of clarity regarding the issues of creed. So being such a person that he makes statements or holds beliefs that when he expresses them, perhaps it can bear a meaning of truth, perhaps it can bear a meaning of falsehood, it can bear either meaning. He says, but rather, one must be a person of clarity, especially in a case wherein one has been accused of something. That one, if he's been accused of something, then clarify. Just make it clear exactly what a person's belief system is, as we find Al-Tabari doing inside of his book. And more is going to come, inshallah, in the next sitting as we dive deeper into the Risala. Now, we conclude with this, inshallah. Hadha wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Jazakumullah khairan.